Thank you. My anger against their sins, anger that would otherwise fall on them. The hell that he suffers is their hell transferred to him. It was the work of the high priest, once a year, on the Day of Atonement, to choose a sacrifice, to die in the place of the people, carrying their sins. And now, though he doesn't realize it, Caiaphas, the high priest, overruled by God, is naming Jesus as the sacrifice who will die carrying the sins of his people. Jesus does not only die for the sake of the people. He dies in their place. He dies as their substitute. He dies suffering what they ought to suffer. He dies blitzed, burned up by the anger of God against my sins. He dies in my place. Does it trouble you when we speak of God being angry against sin? There are times when I am angry against my own sins. There are times when for a moment I get a clear glimpse of what I am like, of the ugliness, the horror, the shame of the things that are in my heart. And then I burn with anger against my sins. Well then, how must a holy, how must an infinitely pure and beautiful God feel when he sees human sin? When he sees the vileness that is hidden in our hearts? when he sees the things we have done behind closed doors. How God's anger must burn. But what God was saying here was that his anger, instead of being unleashed against me, must be unleashed against his own beloved son. He must die in the place of the people. Again, Caiaphas says that Jesus must die for the people so that the nation, he means the nation of Israel, will not perish. Caiaphas is just thinking of the physical nation of Israel. The people who are physically descended from Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. But notice how John explains to us God's hidden meaning in the words. Verse 51. He did not say this on his own, but as high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus would die for the Jewish nation, and not only for that nation, but also for the scattered children of God, to bring them together and make them one. The physical nation of Israel, yes, that was one thing. They were chosen as God's earthly people. They were chosen to play a physical role in history. But the real people of God, God's real chosen nation, is so much bigger than that. Yes, many Jewish people are included in it. But there are also the scattered children of God. All the people God has chosen from all the different countries and peoples of the world. Caiaphas was saying, or all Caiaphas was meaning, was that Jesus must die to safeguard the physical nation of Israel, so that they won't be scattered. But God was saying through Caiaphas, my son Jesus must die to rescue and safeguard the whole of the true nation. All my chosen people in all history from all nations. All of my children whom I've chosen for myself. I'm going to bring them all together through the death of my son. I'm going to make them one great worldwide family, which is going to be forever. Caiaphas doesn't know it. But he's telling us that Jesus is going to die for the church, for the whole company of God's people, to bring us together, to make us one, to give us everlasting peace and security. All earthly nations rise and fall. They play a role and then they vanish from this stage of history. But Jesus Christ dies to save his chosen people and to make them into one holy nation that will be safe for all eternity. Caiaphas says, we must make the nation safe. God says, yes, I will make my nation, my chosen people, all of them, safe forever. And the only way I can do that is by handing my son over to die in their place, bearing their sins, carrying their punishment. And then finally, Caiaphas says that Jesus must die for the people, rather than that the whole nation perish. He feared that Israel would perish. But all he meant was that they would be scattered, that the nation would vanish from the history books. But how much more God meant. God looked at us in our sin, in our helplessness. God saw us in the twisted ruin of our sinful personalities. God saw us with our hearts corrupt, with that unfathomable, bottomless pit of corruption and sin and selfishness within us. And God saw that we must perish forever. God saw that we must sink into that lake of fire and torment. God saw that he must cast us there. There is no place for creatures as wicked as us in God's holy universe. Unless, yes, there is one way. There is one way, says God. There is one way I can save them from perishing. There is one way I can restore them. There is one way I can wipe away their sins. There is one way I can cleanse their hearts. There is one way I can make them fit to live in the happiness of heaven forever. I can give my son, my beloved son, my innocent son, my pure, wise, holy, trusting son, the son who has never spoken one wrong word against me, the son who has never caused me one pang of pain, I can hand him over to be ruined in their place. I can hand him over to be scorched in the fires of hell. I can hand him over for demons to torment and for men to torture. I can pour out all my anger against him. And then they can be spared. And they can be gathered. And they can be protected. And I can love them. I can love those unlovable wretches. And I can love them for all eternity. And so God planned. And so God, with his heart breaking, spoke through the mouth of his prophet Caiaphas. It is better for you that one man, the one true man, die, than that the whole nation perish. What a sentence for God to speak. It is better for Jesus to die than that sinners should perish. Would the angels have understood that better? God, for some mysterious reason, reckoned that it was better that his beloved son should suffer the torments of hell than that I should. God reckoned it better that the innocent one should be torn apart in anguish than that I, the guilty one, should. He said, it is better that my son should die than that my people should perish in their sins. Can you explain that better to me? Can you explain why God should love sinners so much as to give his own beloved son to spare them the pain that they have deserved? I can understand Caiaphas's wickedness. I can understand the wickedness that prompted Caiaphas's words. But can you understand God's love? The love that prompted him to give his own beloved son for sinners. Well, we read, verse 53, that from that day on, they plotted to take his life. The sentence has now been passed. The high priest has named Jesus as the sacrifice who must die. He doesn't understand what he's done. But he has accomplished God's purpose. For a moment, Let's think back to Martha and Mary. They send their message. Lord, the one you love, Lazarus, is sick. They send their cry of help to Jesus. And what a train of events that one little prayer unlocks in God's purposes. Jesus comes to Bethany in answer to that prayer. Lazarus is raised from the dead. Many believe. Others go to the Pharisees. The High Council of Israel is convened. And the high priest solemnly decrees that Jesus must die. That is the train of events that little message sets afoot. And so the way is opened for all God's plan of salvation to be fulfilled. That plan that was drawn up before the worlds were made. God's Son is going to die on a Roman cross. God's wrath is going to be poured out against him. The sins of millions and millions of people are going to be punished on one day and wiped from the record. The scattered children of God are going to be brought together to be God's people forever. All the centuries of church history are going to begin to roll forward. The great missionary movements are going to begin to gather in the scattered children of God from all nations. God's elect in Stockport are going to hear the gospel and be saved through the dying agony of Jesus. We are called out of darkness into light. You are invited to come and be forgiven today. You are invited to take hold of all that Jesus has done by his death, of all that God has planned. You are invited to lay aside your trivial, pathetic, meaningless little toys. You're invited to have your sins washed from the record and to be embraced by the love of God. That is the great chain of events that was set loose on when that little message was sent. And it's come to you. God has been planning from all eternity that you this morning will hear an invitation given in genuine love. God says, come to my Son and be forgiven and have peace. And one day, when all the scattered children of God have been gathered together, when all the elect have been drawn, when everyone whom God has chosen has answered that summons and received that invitation, then God is going to bring in his everlasting kingdom. And all the universe is going to shout hallelujah to the Lamb who is in the midst of the throne. Oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable his judgments and his paths beyond tracing out. For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be the glory forever. Amen.